Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Friday evening. Going to be with you for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone. Take your Alexa speakers. Take your tablet. Take your Commodore 64, your Light Bright, your clock radio. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show is to follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316, and that is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there producing the show. As always, on the other side of the glass, Day Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. A bunch of things to get into with you here tonight is we get ready for some Braves baseball coming up here at 8:10 will be first pitch tonight because they are in Milwaukee. That is Central Time, right? That's Central Time. So 8:10 start for the Braves. Michael Soroka, and Freddie Peralta will be on the mound tonight. You know, Peralta's been a pretty good pitcher over the last couple of years for the Brewers. He's been a big strikeout guy. 6-7 this year, 4.41 ERA. He does have 113 strikeouts in 98 innings. That's 10.4 strikeouts per nine innings. But he has given up 40 walks in 98 innings, and he's given up 16 homers in 98 innings. That will not bode well when he faces this lineup tonight. I can tell you, if he's, you know, if he's kind of keeping that pace and maintaining that pace, that will not bode well if you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, because you do not want to start giving up long balls to this team, because this team can out long ball anybody in Major League Baseball. So we'll see what Michael Soroka has tonight. I mean, look, obviously, he's another guy trying to get his sea legs back. We're trying to figure out, can he be a stable part of the rotation? You know, I hope. Now, here's what I will say, and we said this when they brought him up. No need to send him back down to Gwinnett. No, literally, no need to send him back down. Either he's going to make it here or he's going to make it anywhere. Either he figures it out here or he doesn't figure it out anywhere. And that's the truth of it. No, no more shuttling buses. No more being on the Partridge Family bus, which, again, just burning diesel smog fuel to go back and forth from Buford to Smyrna. No more. He's got to stay up here and figure, you know, things out at the Major League level. So we'll see what Michael Soroka has tonight. And this will be a good matchup. Again, we talked about this, you know, here during the week. This will be six games in their next eight that they play the Milwaukee Brewers. So they'll play the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee for three. Then they'll go to the Boston Red Sox for two. And then they'll come home to Truist Park and have the Milwaukee Brewers back home. So six of the next eight games will be against the Brewers. And, you know, again, we'll get a pretty good feel and flavor for what this looks like here. The Braves start off tonight. They are 10.5 games up on the Phillies and Marlins, 17.5 up on the Mets, and 24.5 up on the Nationals. Here's the thing, and Day-Day, let me give you a perfect example about what's going on in the NL East, okay? So the Braves have obviously stumbled here of late, right? They had a four-game losing streak. They did win yesterday, okay? They're only 5-5 in their last 10, okay? You know what Philadelphia is? They've lost two in a row. They're 5-5. The Marlins have lost six in a row. They're 2-8 in their last 10. The Mets have lost one in a row. They're 5-5 in their last 10. And the Nationals have lost two in a row. They're 5-6 in their last 10. So even when the Braves have stumbled and not played as well, and they've had a bit of a hiccup, and they've lost a couple of series, and they didn't play very well through the weekend and all that, guess what? The Philadelphia Phillies, the Miami Fishnets, and the Mets have not been able to take advantage one iota in this run. In fact, the Marlins have lost three games over a 10-game stretch. Now you know why I say the division is over. The division's over. It's been over. When you can't beat the team in front of you and you can't gain any ground when they slip up and you can't do anything about it, the division's over. There ain't nothing that any of these teams, Philadelphia, the Fishnets, the Mets, nothing they're going to do to change the course of what is going to be the history of right now. Nothing. They can't get out of their own way. Even when the Braves stub their toe and stink it up for a little bit, they can't gain any ground. And we certainly know that they can't beat the Braves head-to-head, 6-22 against the Braves. So this will be a good series. This will be kind of fun. Milwaukee starts tonight 54-43. They're 2.5 games up on the Cincinnati Reds. They've won two in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Now, they're still a -3 run differential, which is kind of crazy that they're leading the division with a -3 run differential, as the Braves are 145 in the plus category. Plus 145, Brewers are -3. Whew. That's some good work for the Brewers that they've figured out a way to get to all of this done. Max Fried made his, third rehab start down in Gwinnett. 3 1/3. 6 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 5 strikeouts, but gave up a couple of homers, 65 pitches, 46 strikes. According to Dave O'Brien, they think that he's going to make another rehab start. Okay. Yeah, I got no problem with that. I think you make one more rehab start and then it's let's go. Okay. We can't, you know, let's get everybody ready to go so we can get, you know, playoff rotations, get everybody back up to speed, get everybody sea legs underneath them, for lack of a better term, how to describe it. So Rocha, Fried, let's get everybody's sea legs back up and up to speed. Because we got bigger fish to fry. Because the division's over. We got bigger fish to fry in this whole scenario. So, again, he makes a rehab start. And, you know, we'll see if he makes another one here before he comes back up to the ball club. So that might put him sometime maybe in late July or early August when he comes up. All of the media vote was today. And for the SEC preseason team. So Georgia had 2,011 points in winning the East. Tennessee had 1,682. I'm surprised that the East was as close as what it was. Georgia had 265 first place votes to 14 for Tennessee, but I'm surprised even the vote was that close. Alabama had 165 first place votes to LSU's 117. And they had 1,899 points to LSU's 1,838 points. And then it was kind of a runaway for who was the SEC champion. Georgia had 181 points. Bama had 62. A 3-1 margin. Think about that. 3-1 margin of them winning the ACC. It was 6-1 over LSU. LSU only had 31 points. 6-1 over LSU. 3-1 over Alabama. And here's the other thing about this. You know, one of the things we have not seen over the last couple few years as Georgia has been on this run is we've not seen a whole bunch of guys make first team all SEC. They've had very few, for all of the guys that they've had on defense, they've not had very many. Go look, not had very many guys that make first team all defense. So, on the offensive side, for the preseason all-SEC team, Ladd McConkey made it. Brock Bowers made it. And here's the fun part. Amarius Mims, Tate Ratledge, and Cedric Van Pran all made first-team preseason all-SEC. That's three of the five starting offensive linemen. Are they going to win the Joe Moorhead Award this year? Is that what they're going to win, the best offensive line in the country award this year? Defensively. Let's switch over to the defense. Michael Williams made it. Nazir Stackhouse made it. Jamon Dumas Johnson made it. And this is the fun part. Malachi Starks, Kamari Lassiter, Javon Bullard all made first team. That's three of the four starting corners. Three of the four starting defensive backs that are Georgia Bulldogs. And they're loaded again. You know, they've got people on the second team. Second team had Kendall Milton on it. Xavier Truss is on the second team as an offensive lineman. Second team defense, Samuel Mondon made it. And he was the only guy on the second team. So even though we haven't seen as much of that over the last few years, and it's funny because people have said, well, there's no, what's his name? Davis, the guy that was drafted by the Eagles. It was my brain.
Nolan.
You're
talking about?
Davis, the big offensive lineman, they're a big defensive lineman for the Eagles. Guy was drafted by the Eagles. You don't even remember. So, again, I'm the one who's brain dead here, right? I'm the one who's brain dead. I'm relying on you. I was going to say Jarvis Davis, but no. Again, that's my former producer.
Right. I think that's what threw me off. You said.
So, again, you know, they've had all the succession plan of all these top guys. I'm asking day-to-day football questions. I'm in trouble now. But anyway, but they've had all these guys that have been, you know, again, first-round draft picks and all that kind of stuff. But they haven't had a whole lot of guys on the all-SEC team. And in a year where you don't maybe have as many of those defensive linemen that are going to get drafted as the number one overall draft pick or, you know, high first round caliber picks. They've got all kinds of guys on their defense and especially in their second. Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis. See, again, I'm the one who's supposed to be brain dead on the show. I'm the one who had the stroke. I'm the one who watched that big white blob in his brain that was, you know, again, like anywhere between a quarter and a third of my brain was blobbed out. It's going to be one of those kinds of nights. By the way, for the last half hour here, has it not? It's rained sideways in a biblical fashion. Like, it has been a mess out here in Midtown. But anyway, I digress out there. Did you see that Bryce Young signed his deal with the Carolina Panthers? $37.9 million as the number one overall pick. A $24.6 million signing bonus. The contract itself is 100% guaranteed. So he gets $37.9 million in a deal with a $24.6 million signing bonus, and the contract is fully guaranteed for it. So I'll look at what his, cap numbers are going to be. But, I mean, obviously, these guys don't have nearly the cap number that guys in the past, the Matt Ryan and the Sam Bradfords and those kinds of quarterbacks had in the old days. But still, again, $38 million guaranteed. That's not that's not bad for a day's work, right? I mean, so good stuff there. Good stuff there. And in the world of the British Open, you know, again, Rory fading. But Brian Harman, who our guy Will Gray talked about him last night. Well, he's now the leader in the clubhouse. He's 10 under. You talk about a day, 6 under today, 10 under for the tournament. What a day for Brian Harman. And again, our buddy Will Gray brought this up specifically. He brought his name up specifically that he could be a guy that could really contend and be around, you know, for this tournament. Cam Young, the defending champion, he's now tied for 7th at 2 under. Jordan Spieth is a 2 under. So that's some of the Americans that are making noise right now. Rory is tied for 11th. He's 1 under. And I didn't see what the expected cut line is going to be. Looks like 3 over will be the cut. So the following players made to make the cut at 3 over. So 3 over is going to be the cut line. There's some good player names that that didn't get to, you know, better than 3 under. So, all right, here we go. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Will Taylor Heinicke play in anything other than mop-up duty this year? Do you think there's a scenario where Taylor Heinicke finds his way in and gets some starts? Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, will ask you that question. You can call in, let us know what you think. 404-726-0929. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream.
Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Friday night with you. All right, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Asking you the question here tonight. Do you see a scenario where Taylor Heinicke plays in anything other than mop-up duty? Do you think that Taylor Heinicke plays in anything other than mop-up duty? You know, Desmond Ridder was not a guy, and look, obviously going up to the NFL level, things can always change, but Desmond Ridder was not a guy who got hurt. He was never a guy who put himself into too much harm's way. And look, they played some really good teams, right? They played Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State and UCLA, and you know, they played good programs up and down, you know, the schedule for years. But Desmond was really never a guy who got hurt, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. Now, could it be that if Desmond Ridder doesn't play well? I think Desmond Ridder is going to have a long leash. I don't think that they are going to panic. Look, they suffered through as long as they could with Marcus Mariota, right? In fact, they probably played Marcus Mariota longer than what he should have played because they were kidding themselves that they could actually be a playoff team. So, and by the way, Day-Day, we'll get to the top 10 on Pro Football Focus here in just a little, anyway. But they fooled themselves into thinking they could be a playoff team, and they played Marcus Mariota probably way too long and didn't give Ridder a chance. So I think Desmond Ridder is going to get a really long leash. Now, I'm not saying in 3 years, if he's, you know, stinking up the joint, that he's going to be the quarterback, but for this year, there's no reason to think that Desmond Ridder won't play all 17 games, both from a standpoint of he plays well enough to start, and I don't think he's a guy that is going to put himself in harm's way and get himself injured. You know, even though he's a quarterback who can run, he's not a run-first type of quarterback. He's not a reckless kind of quarterback when it comes to the run game. Now, do we have that clip, Day-Day, from that guy? Now, who was this guy? He was on with Dukes and Bell. And who is the guy?
Matt Verderam.
Matt Verderam.
Yeah.
So Justin Verlander?
No.
Okay. So he's what? What is Matt?
He's a
inside, Matt Velarde.
NFL insider for SI.
Okay. I thought his quote about Desmond Ridder was very interesting. Let me let you hear what Matt Verderama had to say about all of this.
Desmond Ridder just has to be a point guard for the Falcons. That's what he has to be. They don't need him to go out there and create nonstop. They've done a nice job. Terry Fontenot's done a nice job of surrounding him with good pieces. Arthur Smith is a very creative, offensive-minded head coach. I think he's a great guy to have for Ridder. And then you look at the weapons. You just mentioned a lot of them. You have Drake London in his second year. Kyle Pitts in his third year. You have the backs in Algier, and you also have, of course, Bijan coming in. That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of talent. So if you're the Falcons, and they have a pretty good offensive line, I mean, and a line that's been getting better, I look at them and say, my big question is defensively, there's a lot of new pieces. I like the moves. I thought the Falcons are one of the strongest off seasons in the NFL. I think they have a shot to win that division along with New Orleans and Carolina. My big question is going to be, as you point out with Ridder, what is he? I mean, can he just make the plays he's supposed to make? Can he go into a game and go 23 of 35 for 220 and, you know, a touchdown or two? He can do that. I think the Falcons are in a really good spot, but obviously, you know, only four games. You just don't really know yet what you're going to see out of it.
So, you know, Day-Day, gosh, if there was only somebody who had been saying the same thing here about not having to shoulder all of the load, and if there was only somebody who kind of was saying the same thing in Atlanta radio, well, we can hope for somebody like that. Look, I 100% agree with his assessment, and this is exactly what I've been saying for how long now, that he doesn't have to shoulder the load. Look, if he balls out and he's a terrific quarterback and he's a monster, that's why I said, you know, we talked about this last week, what his number, was it last week that we talked about or was it this
week?
That
was this week.
Okay, we talked about what his numbers are, and somebody brought up the idea of 35 touchdowns. If he's 35 touchdowns, he's the MVP of the league. Like, we're talking MVP of the league, and we're going to be 13-4 in, you know, first seed in the NFC. I mean, that's the kind of year when you get to, like, 35 touchdowns for a quarterback. I mean, that's a drastic number. Even in today's NFL, that's a big-time number. But I don't think Desmond Ridder has to shoulder the load. And I don't think that he has to – I don't think he has to carry the franchise on his shoulders. He's got enough help around him. And if he can just stay out of harm's way, there's no reason why, as smart as he is, as much of a winner as he is, that Desmond Ridder should fail in this system. Look, they're still going to do, you know, I think still call a more percentage of run plays than probably any team in the league. They're not going to put themselves in harm's way. And I don't think that they're going to let Desmond Ridder do some of the things that Marcus Mariota did, where he was a turnover machine. I mean, that's one of the things that killed the Falcons. It just, he wasn't judicious or safe with the football. Just too often, he'd make goofy plays. And I don't think Desmond Ridder is that type of quarterback. So that's why I think, you know, again, will they battle each other a little bit? Yeah, I think so. And I really hope, and this is my hope, I really hope that Tyler Heinicke really pushes Desmond Ridder for that job. Because, again, I want to see some competition at that spot. I want Desmond Ridder to feel like he's got to fight for that job. Not just everything is just handed to him and there's no consequence. I want him to fight for that job, and I think he will. And I think he knows and understands sort of where he's at in the world of things. And look, he can go on the websites and read where they think that he is and this, that, and the other, and all the things that are being said about him. You know, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to do all of that kind of stuff. But I don't, there's no reason for him to not do the things that he can do in this offense. And they're not going to ask him to go out there and, you know, on a regular basis, help win them games. Excuse me. So, again, if he does put up those kinds of numbers, if he does put up 3,500 yards and 35 touchdowns, now we've got a whole separate discussion. Now we've got a discussion about MVP of the league, and we're one of the top teams in the NFL, and we're the number one seed in the East, and we're rocking and rolling, and we're kicking the crap out of everybody in the division. We're kicking everybody the crap out of everybody in the league. Like, that's a whole separate discussion when he gets to that level. I don't think that happens in year one of first year full-time starting. But again, I think he's going to be a productive quarterback. But I don't see a scenario where Taylor Heinicke gets in. I think once Taylor Heinicke becomes the backup quarterback, this is going to be Desmond Ridder's job, both from a standpoint of I don't think he gets hurt, from a standpoint of I think he plays well enough that he keeps the job, and he's not going to play bad enough to allow Taylor Heinicke to step in and start. Because I don't know that it would be a disastrous thing to happen, because Taylor Heinicke could win some games, right? He could win some games, whether Ridder misses a game or two because of injury or if things get bad for him. I mean, Heinicke could win some games. He did help Washington out when, you know, he did start and he did some good things. I'm not saying that he's, you know, Tom Brady or somebody like that, but he did do some good things to help his franchise out. But I don't think that he's going to find a way into this lineup. And that's not necessarily a bad thing or whatever like that. I mean, again, you would rather have a guy that you feel like can either push your starter or be a capable, competent backup quarterback in case something goes wrong. You know, and again, with a young guy, you just never know. I mean, we're saying all these things, and it could completely just fall off a cliff. But I don't see that happening with Desmond Ridder. I don't see him as that kind of player. I don't see him as the kind of guy that, you know, is all of a sudden going to do something that's, you know, totally different than the way he was in college. And he was a leader in college. He was a winner. More importantly than anything else is the fact that Desmond Ridder was a winner in college. He was a guy that led a program that was obviously a group of five program to prominent heights. You know, there was discussions about whether or not they could find their way in the playoff a couple of years ago. Then, you know, in his final year, they did find a way to get into the college football playoff. So I just don't see a scenario where Taylor Heinicke is going to find himself playing at all. Whether it's because of injury, you know, lack of injury, I guess I should say, whether it's because, you know, Ridder plays well enough. But I think he's going to have a good year. And again, I think he'll be somewhere, you know, close to that 3,000 yardage mark and 65% completion and, you know, somewhere between 22, 25 touchdowns. I don't know how much more you could ask out of Desmond Ridder, especially in year one. I don't know how much more expectation there could be in year one than those kinds of numbers. Now, maybe he does go in and balls out, that he just, again, it all clicks for him. Everything comes together. And maybe that happens. But, you know, we don't see that very often in, you know, third round and later types of quarterbacks. We have the rare exceptions, and again, we all know who the examples are. But, you know, on a week-in, week-out basis, we just don't see that kind of, you know, leap. And especially like in year one, like I said, again, having a chance to start in his first full year for the Falcons. So we'll see what happens, but again, I think Ritter's going to have a long leash to get this thing on track and to, you know, find a way to be successful and win some football games. All right, our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, who covers the Atlanta Hawks, is going to join us up next. And Hawks did make a deal today. They're moving and grooving, shaking and baking, cutting and strutting. They're all over the place and doing all kinds of moves. And, yeah, okay, anyway. All right, we'll talk to Lauren up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Hawks made some big moves today. I didn't see how much money they saved because that seems to be more of what we do than anything else when we start making trades and all this kind of stuff. We start picking up more cap space and cash available to us. So let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She is here to make sense of all of this. Our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, joins us. She's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work, and you can find her on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight on this rainy, thundery, lightning Friday.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the thunder and lightning, but happy about the rain. It was getting pretty hot out there.
yeah, absolutely it was. So, well, I mean, so the Hawks, I guess, signed Wesley Matthews. Let me ask you this very simply. What does this move mean for the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I think they just added a veteran to this roster that they sorely missed. I think the last couple of seasons, you know, they didn't really have anyone that was kind of a good voice of reason in the locker room, and it was part of the reason that this team kind of let go of Nate McMillan at the, you know, before the All-Star break last season. They said that they didn't have anybody kind of in the locker room kind of holding them accountable, and so that kind of fell on the coaches a bit, and now they have that person who is kind of the in-between between those guys, and I think it's a good fit. I don't think we can expect him to play a ton of minutes. The rotation, I think, is pretty set. We know who, you know, those first nine guys are going to be, and usually Quinn Snyder doesn't typically go beyond nine guys in the rotation, but he's going to be a strong voice. You know, he was on that team in the bubble with, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton and, you know, everything that went on there, and then he spent the last two seasons after a stint away from the Bucks, he went back to Milwaukee, so I think the Hawks are getting a really solid voice right now.
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at kind of his minutes, I mean, he only played 15 minutes a night, you know, last year. It was the first year ever that he didn't start a game where he started, you know, pretty regularly early in his career. But, do you? I mean, let's ask, I mean, because, again, we see these guys come and go. Is this a guy that you think can stick with this roster, or, you know, is he going to be a guy that they move on for somebody else?
Yeah, I think because they signed him to a vet minimum deal versus, say, acquiring him via trade, it's a little bit more likely, in my opinion, that he sticks around for a little bit longer, at least until maybe, say, the trade deadline. But again, he's a guy that, because he's on a one-year deal, he does look a little bit more enticing to some teams as an expiring contract if they're looking to kind of shift some pieces around. But the thing is, it's, you know, the guy who the Hawks are continuously tied to in these trade rumors is Pascal Siakam. So, I mean, are you going to be sending out a one-year rental for a one-year rental? I don't think Wesley Matthews is enough to move the needle there. So, yeah, I just see him kind of sticking around a little bit longer than maybe even Patty Mills.
So, all right, this is the question then at this point. So we're almost to August. And look, October, I think it's October 2nd or 3rd is when training camp opens in the NBA. So we still got, you know, plenty of time. And you know, Summer League is over and this, that, and the other, okay? As we sit here in the year of our Lord, July 21st in 2023 at 7:43 p.m. at night. Are the Hawks a better roster right now than when they wrapped up in losing to the Boston Celtics?
It's hard for me to say that they got better, just because when you trade John Collins away, you trade a guy away who gave you solid rim protection on the defensive end. So maybe offensively they got a little bit better. You're adding in career high shooters who shoot over 35% in Patty Mills and Wesley Matthews, again, who we don't anticipate playing a ton of minutes. But defensively, it's hard to see them being much better than they were last season. And that was part of the reason that they struggled in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, was they needed to get better defensively. So, yeah, it's tough for me to say that this roster is better than where they ended the season last year.
Lauren Williams, she's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And to your point, Lauren, that you made just a couple of minutes ago, you know, it the Pascal Siakam, you know, this has been lingering. I mean, this has been lingering out there in the etherverse, you know, for the longest time. I mean, is there any fire to the smoke? Because, you know, I've heard everything from that his brother has said that he isn't going to be with the Hawks, and there's you know, anticipation that he won't sign an extension like what DeJounte Murray did. I mean, there's all kinds of wild things that are being put out there. Do you think at the end of the day they get a deal like this done, or is this just a lot of rumor and innuendo, and it makes sense for Siakam to end up in Atlanta, but does it make sense for him to want to be in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, definitely where there's smoke, there is fire. And I think part of the reason why an outright deal hasn't been done, say, you know, picks or players or whatever it is that there's somebody in the midst of this deal who hasn't quite agreed to whatever terms there are in front of them. And so I think that's, you know, we're seeing potentially multiple teams being kind of mixed in, and that's usually why stuff like this takes so long, is because you have to feed what everybody else wants. You have to make sure everybody comes away from the table happy. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. But I do think that the Hawks would be a good fit for Siakam, in the sense that they're in a situation where it's win now versus the Raptors. We're seeing it's kind of more of a rebuilding situation. And so if he's looking to, you know, go out and get another ring, I think he has a much higher chance of doing that with the Hawks than he does with the Raptors right now. As far as money-wise, you know, the Hawks, they unloaded a lot of that John Collins contract for the future. And so they do have a little bit more space available to re-sign him. I don't know what the numbers are that he's looking for maybe next year, and maybe that's what the holdup is that they're kind of agreeing to a kind of under the table, this is what we're looking to, you know, extend you at, and he might not necessarily like that. So maybe that's where the holdup is. But I do see him being a good fit, especially if you're putting him alongside you know, like a Jalen Johnson, the DeAndre Hunters, and Sadiq Bey, and kind of the roster that the Hawks have right now.
Well, let me play a little bit of devil's advocate with you here in this scenario, okay? If you're Pascal Siakam, why would you sign with an existing team? Because he's going to go on the marketplace, and I will bet any dinner that you want to take from me, he's going to get max money. He's a max player. And why would he, I don't care if it's the Hawks or whatever, why would he sign with a team, even for the veteran max, like what that's basically what DeJounte Murray did, why would he sign a veteran max deal when he's going to go on the open market? And again, he may not get that fifth year, but he'll get, I mean, he'll get almost super max money. I mean, he will cash in big time. I don't see a reason why he would sign with somebody and turn that opportunity down to, one, go where he wants to go, and two, get max money. So if you're the Hawks, you're looking at this and saying, okay, if I can't sign him to an extension, can I afford to just have him walk away after 1 year on this roster?
Yeah, and again, I think that's kind of what the holdup is. It's whether they can get him to either commit to re-signing with them, or, you know, it's hard to justify the Hawks signing or acquiring a guy who's, as they say, is going to be essentially a one-year rental. So I don't think if you're the Hawks, you should sign a guy, especially if he doesn't want to be here long-term. I think if the rumors are to believe, then he said that, you know, Atlanta is not necessarily the place where he wants to end up. To me, I would have hung up the phone right away and cut my losses there, because it's hard to, in my opinion, convince a guy to stay on if he's not willing to stay on.
So this also begs the other question, let's say that in an ideal world that he signs a vet max deal, which is going to be the same kind of deal that DeJounte Murray got, 4 for $120. You think the Hawks are ready to take on another $120 million of guaranteed salary the way that things have worked? I mean, again, every deal that we've watched, every deal has been $3.5 million here to save, mm-hmm. $6.8 million here, $6.5 million here. I I'm not saying that they won't do this, but mm-hmm. you're going to have to show me and prove to me that they're ready to take on another $120 million player on top of what they already have on this roster.
Yeah, if they believe Pascal Siakam is the guy that's going to help them move the needle, then I think that's what's going to justify them paying him that extra $120 million and taking on that contract. But they also have to think long-term, right? You have guys like Onyeka Okongwu, who is going to be, he's extension eligible. Sadiq Bey, extension eligible. They also have to think about whether or not they're going to continue investing in guys like AJ Griffin and Jalen Johnson, as well as some of the other young guys that they have on their roster. So I think if you're putting all your eggs in one basket in terms of Siakam, to me, that tells me that they truly believe that he's the X factor that's going to help them, you know, move further in the playoffs and hopefully toward a championship.
Could some of this be the idea of there aren't many other great options that are available, either obviously via free agency? I mean, there's I don't think that there's really, you know, anybody who's at Siakam's level on the free agent market. Mm-hmm. And maybe, too, just there aren't a lot of great trade possibilities. I mean, again, we're not getting Joel Embiid or Giannis. I mean, we're not getting right. somebody like that. So, again, is he the next best thing? Because it just seems like that the everybody just assumes that he's going to be gone and mm-hmm. he's going to go somewhere. But if the Raptors were so desperate to get rid of him, I promise you they could find suitors for Pascal Siakam. It doesn't have to be just the Hawks. There would be teams that would certainly love to take him on. If it's really the idea of the Raptors want to get rid of him and not have to pay him that max money.
Yeah, I think the benefit is that you're hopefully locking him in right now, just because when you look at, you know what we saw this free agent class, it wasn't exactly the most enticing. Next year's free agent class minus Siakam isn't exactly, you know, the most enticing. Obviously, that depends on what we see this season. Maybe that changes our outlook on next year's free agency class. So it's just a tough market. I think the only other person that maybe jumps out to me in that free agent class is Jaylen Brown. So I think they're in the similar situation where it's just, do you pay a guy like Jaylen Brown or do you take a big like Siakam? And especially with how they've kind of locked in on DeJounte Murray, it kind of makes the idea of taking on a guy like Jaylen Brown a little bit more moot, unless they are able to move on from DeAndre Hunter. So I don't know. I think that the Hawks have a lot of moving parts right now. I don't envy the situation that they're in. I don't envy Landry Fields in that front office at all. But yes, they do need to make a decision on, you know, who it is that they're going to pay.
Lauren Williams, she covers the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can check out all of her work at AJC.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. Thanks so much for being a part of it, and we'll chat again here soon.
Thank you.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. I do have the top 10. I have the top 10 pro football focused players, the best in the NFL right now. Did we get our guy? Up next, Chuck Green at Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Hi, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at Kia Studios on this Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Hawks made some big moves today. I didn't see how much money they saved because that seems to be more of what we do than anything else when we start making trades and all this kind of stuff. We start picking up more cap space and cash available to us. So let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. She is here to make sense of all of this. Our friend of the show, Lauren Williams, joins us. She's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of her work, and you can find her on her personal Twitter page, at Williams Lauren L. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight on this rainy, thundery, lightning Friday.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the thunder and lightning, but happy about the rain. It was getting pretty hot out there.
yeah, absolutely it was. So, well, I mean, so the Hawks, I guess, signed Wesley Matthews. Let me ask you this very simply. What does this move mean for the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I think they just added a veteran to this roster that they sorely missed. I think the last couple of seasons, you know, they didn't really have anyone that was kind of a good voice of reason in the locker room, and it was part of the reason that this team kind of let go of Nate McMillan at the, you know, before the All-Star break last season. They said that they didn't have anybody kind of in the locker room kind of holding them accountable, and so that kind of fell on the coaches a bit, and now they have that person who is kind of the in-between between those guys, and I think it's a good fit. I don't think we can expect him to play a ton of minutes. The rotation, I think, is pretty set. We know who, you know, those first 9 guys are going to be, and usually Quinn Snyder doesn't typically go beyond 9 guys in the rotation, but he's going to be a strong voice. You know, he was on that team in the bubble with, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton and, you know, everything that went on there. And then he spent the last 2 seasons after a stint away from the Bucks. He went back to Milwaukee. So I think the Hawks are getting a really solid voice right now.
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at kind of his minutes, I mean, he only played 15 minutes a night, you know, last year. It was the first year ever that he didn't start a game where he started, you know, pretty regularly early in his career. But do you, I mean, let's ask, I mean, because, again, we see these guys come and go. Is this a guy that you think can stick with this roster, or, you know, is he going to be a guy that they move on for somebody else?
Yeah, I think because they signed him to a vet minimum deal versus, say, acquiring him via trade, it's a little bit more likely, in my opinion, that he sticks around for a little bit longer, at least until maybe, say, the trade deadline. But, again, he's a guy that, because he's on a one-year deal, he does look a little bit more enticing to some teams as an expiring contract if they're looking to kind of shift some pieces around. But the thing is, it's, you know, the guy who the Hawks are continuously tied to in these trade rumors is Pascal Siakam. So, I mean, are you going to be sending out a one-year rental for a one-year rental? I don't think Wesley Matthews is enough to move the needle there. So, yeah, I just see him kind of sticking around a little bit longer than maybe even Patty Mills.
So, all right, this is the question then at this point. So we're almost to August. And look, October, I think it's October 2nd or 3rd is when training camp opens in the NBA. So we still got, you know, plenty of time. And you know, Summer League is over and this, that, and the other, okay? As we sit here in the year of our Lord, July 21st in 2023 at 7:43 p.m. at night, are the Hawks a better roster right now than when they wrapped up in losing to the Boston Celtics?
It's hard for me to say that they got better, just because when you trade John Collins away, you trade a guy away who gave you solid rim protection on the defensive end. So maybe offensively they got a little bit better. You're adding in career high shooters who shoot over 35% in Patty Mills and Wesley Matthews, again, who we don't anticipate playing a ton of minutes. But defensively, it's hard to see them being much better than they were last season. And that was part of the reason that they struggled in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, was they needed to get better defensively. So, yeah, it's tough for me to say that this roster is better than where they ended the season last year.
Lauren Williams, she's the Hawks beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And to your point, Lauren, that you made just a couple of minutes ago, you know, the Pascal Siakam, you know, this has been lingering. I mean, this has been lingering out there in the etherverse, you know, for the longest time. I mean, is there any fire to the smoke? Because, you know, I've heard everything from that his brother has said that he isn't going to be with the Hawks, and there's you know, anticipation that he won't sign an extension like what DeJounte Murray did. I mean, there's all kinds of wild things that are being put out there. Do you think at the end of the day they get a deal like this done, or is this just a lot of rumor and innuendo, and it makes sense for Siakam to end up in Atlanta, but does it make sense for him to want to be in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, definitely where there's smoke, there is fire. And I think part of the reason why an outright deal hasn't been done, say, you know, picks or players or whatever it is that there's somebody in the midst of this deal who hasn't quite agreed to whatever terms there are in front of them. And so I think that's, you know, we're seeing potentially multiple teams being kind of mixed in, and that's usually why stuff like this takes so long, is because you have to feed what everybody else wants. You have to make sure everybody comes away from the table happy. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing here. But I do think that the Hawks would be a good fit for Siakam, in the sense that they're in a situation where it's win now versus the Raptors. We're seeing it's kind of more of a rebuilding situation. And so if he's looking to, you know, go out and get another ring, I think he has a much higher chance of doing that with the Hawks than he does with the Raptors right now. As far as money-wise, you know, the Hawks, they unloaded a lot of that John Collins contract for the future. And so they do have a little bit more space available to re-sign him. I don't know what the numbers are that he's looking for maybe next year, and maybe that's what the holdup is that they're kind of agreeing to a kind of under the table, this is what we're looking to, you know, extend you at, and he might not necessarily like that, so maybe that's where the holdup is. But I do see him being a good fit, especially if you're putting him alongside, you know, like a Jalen Johnson, the DeAndre Hunters, and Sadiq Bey, and kind of the roster that the Hawks have right now.
Well, let me play a little bit of devil's advocate with you here in this scenario, okay? If you're Pascal Siakam, why would you sign with an existing team? Because he's going to go on the marketplace, and I will bet any dinner that you want to take from me, he's going to get max money. He's a max player. And why would he, I don't care if it's the Hawks or whatever, why would he sign with a team, even for the veteran max, like what that's basically what DeJounte Murray did, why would he sign a veteran max deal when he's going to go on the open market? And again, he may not get that fifth year, but he'll get he'll get almost super max money. I mean, he will cash in big time. I don't see a reason why he would sign with somebody and turn that opportunity down to, one, go where he wants to go, and two, get max money. So if you're the Hawks, you're looking at this and saying, okay, if I can't sign him to an extension, can I afford to just have him walk away after 1 year on this roster?
Yeah, and again, I think that's kind of what the holdup is. It's whether they can get him to either commit to re-signing with them, or, you know, it's hard to justify the Hawks signing or acquiring a guy who's, as they say, is going to be essentially a one-year rental. So I don't think if you're the Hawks, you should sign a guy, especially if he doesn't want to be here long-term. I think if the rumors are to believe, then he said that, you know, Atlanta is not necessarily the place where he wants to end up. To me, I would have hung up the phone right away and cut my losses there, because it's hard to, in my opinion, convince a guy to stay on if he's not willing to stay on.
So this also begs the other question, let's say that in an ideal world, that he signs a vet max deal, which is going to be the same kind of deal that DeJounte Murray got, 4 for $120. You think the Hawks are ready to take on another $120 million of guaranteed salary the way that things have worked? I mean, again, every deal that we've watched, every deal has been $3.5 million here to save, $6.8 million here, $6.5 million here. I I'm not saying that they won't do this, but you're going to have to show me and prove to me that they're ready to take on another $120 million player on top of what they already have on this roster.
Yeah, if they believe Pascal Siakam is the guy that's going to help them move the needle, then I think that's what's going to justify them paying him that extra $120 million and taking on that contract. But they also have to think long-term, right? You have guys like Onyeka Okongwu, who is going to be, he's extension eligible, Sadiq Bey, extension eligible. They also have to think about whether or not they're going to continue investing in guys like AJ Griffin and Jalen Johnson, as well as some of the other young guys that they have on their roster. So I think if you're putting all your eggs in one basket in terms of Siakam, to me that tells me that they truly believe that he's the X factor that's going to help them, you know, move further in the playoffs and hopefully toward a championship.
Could some of this be the idea of, There aren't many other great options that are available, either obviously via free agency. I mean, I don't think that there's really, you know, anybody who's at Siakam's level on the free agent market. Mm-hmm. And maybe too, just there aren't a lot of great trade possibilities. I mean, again, we're not getting Joel Embiid or Giannis. I mean, we're not getting somebody like that. So again, is he the next best thing? Because it just seems like that the everybody just assumes that he's going to be gone and he's going to go somewhere. But if the Raptors were so desperate to get rid of him, I promise you they could find suitors for Pascal Siakam. It doesn't have to be just the Hawks. There would be teams that would certainly love to take him on if it's really the idea of the Raptors want to get rid of him and not have to pay him that max money.
Yeah, I think the benefit is that you're hopefully locking him in right now, just because when you look at you know what we saw this free agent class, it wasn't exactly the most enticing. Next year's free agent class minus Siakam isn't exactly, you know, the most enticing. Obviously, that depends on what we see this season. Maybe that changes our outlook on next year's free agency class. So it's just a tough market. I think the only other person that maybe jumps out to me in that free agent class is Jaylen Brown. So I think they're in the similar situation where it's just, do you pay a guy like Jaylen Brown or do you take a big like Siakam? And especially with how they've kind of locked in on DeJounte Murray, it kind of makes the idea of taking on a guy like Jaylen Brown a little bit more moot, unless they are able to move on from DeAndre Hunter. So I don't know. I think that the Hawks have a lot of moving parts right now. I don't envy the situation that they're in. I don't envy Landry Fields in that front office at all. But yes, they do need to make a decision on, you know, who it is that they're going to pay.
Lauren Williams, she covers the Atlanta Hawks for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can check out all of her work at AJC.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at WilliamsLaurenL, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Lauren, as always, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight. Thanks so much for being a part of it, and we'll chat again here soon.
Thank you.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. I do have the top 10. I have the top 10 pro football focused players, the best in the NFL right now. Did we get our guy? Up next, Chuck Green at Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.